Today's shiur is Masechta Bava Metzia, Daf Nun Zayin. We will begin on Daf Nun Zayin and Aleph, the third line. It says the Gemara, Amar Rav, Rava Amar Rav Chassa. As we've been learning, there is no Einoah, the Mishnah taught us by Avodim, Shtaris, Karkos, Hadeshes. So ask the Gemara, the question is, by Ravami Einoah She'en Lehem, when we say that there is no Einoah, by these various things that we just identified, what is, does that mean that there's no Einoah, but mitl mekach yesh lehem or ein lehem? As we discussed from when we began learning the halachas of Einoah, that the halacha is if the amount that was overcharged, undercharged, is exactly a sixth, the sale stands, but you have to reimburse that sixth. Whereas if it's more than a sixth, the entire sale is void. And the Gemara's question now is, when we say that there's no Einoah by these different situations that we just mentioned, what does that mean? That the whole issue of overcharging, undercharging, does not apply in these situations? Or does it mean that the exact sixth rule doesn't apply? But if it was more than the sixth, then of course there would be a knob. And the reason would be, is the way most Rishonim explain the Gemara, it's not because there's a knob. As we've been learning, the Pesukim teach us, there is no a knob at that number. But rather, what it means to say is that when you have that type of a situation, it's a bitl mekach. It's, as the Rishonim I saw give different examples. It's like if I intended to sell you wine, and instead of selling you wine, you got vinegar. That, of course, is a mekach tos. Or as we spoke in our previous year, that even when we speak about there not being a nor in different situations, when it's b'midah b'mishkol b'minyan, when the mount is something that was a weight or things like that, there the halach is that if you didn't get what you were supposed to get, certainly that voids the sale. So here too, when it's such a significant number, it would completely, perhaps, void the sale. Amar Rav Nachman, Hadar Amar Rav Chassa, Poshet Rav Ami taught us, Einoah lehem, there is no din of Einoah, however, bitl mekach yesh lehem. When there's such a serious discrepancy, certainly the halacha is that Einoah would be in place. Rav Yoyin Eimer, Rav Yoinah says, Agdashis, that Rav Yoinah said, Rav Yochanan is going to talk to us about Agdashis. Rav Yirmiyah Omar Akakos. And Rav Yirmiyah says that Rav Yochanan spoke about Hakakos. But Tvei Mishmeid Rav Yochanan Amru, Anoa Elohim, that there is no halach of Anoa. However, Bittel Mekach Yeshlehem, there is a concept of a Mekach Tos, that was a statement Rav Yochanan made. But the question is, regarding which situation did Rabbi Yochanan make that statement? Rabbi Yochanan says that he made that statement regarding Hegdish, that when it's more than a sixth, there's a bitl mekach, there's a mekach tos. And Rabbi Yirmiyah said that Rabbi Yochanan made that statement regarding Karka. Says the Gemara, Man Dama, the opinion that says that Rabbi Yochanan said it by Hegdashis, that even by Hegdashis, where it is difficult to attribute a mistake, because who is the owner of the Hegdash? The owner of the Hegdash is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We say that Mekach Tos, that there's a concept of Mekach Tos when there was such a serious overcharge. Koshkein, he'll hold by Kakos, which is regarding two people that were going to say that there's a concept of Mekach Tos. Man the Omer, however, the opinion, Rabbi Yirmiyah's opinion, that Rabbi Yochanan said his statement regarding Kakos, Aval Agdashis, when we speak about Agdashis, Rabbi Yochanan will not have said this din, because as we just explained, Rabbi Yochanan will say we can never apply the concept of Mekach Tos when we speak about Hashem, because we can't, Chas V'Shalom, in any way attribute a mistake to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And since we can't attribute a mistake to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're obviously not speaking about Hegdashis, we're only speaking about Kakos. Says the Gemara, this concept that we just said, that according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, there is no bitl, there is no mekach tos behegdish, actually is consistent with something that Shmuel taught us. Dama Shmuel, hegdish of a mana. If you have a hegdish which is worth whatever amount, shechiloya shiva pruta, that you went and you redeemed that hegdish on something which is a shava pruta, obviously much less than what it's really worth. The Halacha Shmuel says that it's still considered mechulal, it's still considered a valid redemption. So the Rishonim ask that the Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin discusses when you're redeeming Hegdish, in front of how many people must you do so? One man, the Amma says, the Chacham say you have to do it in front of three people, and if you're going to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, you have to do it in front of ten people to make sure that Hegdish is getting what it's supposed to get. So ask Taisus Masechta Temura, if we're saying, as Shmuel is teaching us now, that whatever you do is fine, so why are we so concerned that there should be so many people there determining what you're doing is correct? So the teretz is that this halacha is that when Hegdish is redeemed, even on a Shava Pruta, it's considered a valid redemption, is only when the person who's redeeming it is the owner, is the person who was Magdish it. It was somebody else, then of course you have to give the proper value. And the Tori Evan explains, because the person who was Magdashit created the Hegdish. So therefore, by such an individual, the halacha is any type of redemption, even if it's not at the value of what it really is worth, is going to be considered a valid redemption. Somebody else who didn't do that, wasn't the one that was Magdashit, doesn't have it right. Tori Evan also gives a different suggestion. He says that when somebody who was Magdish something is redeeming it, the reason he has the stronger position is because he can always be shoyel. Hegdish, as we've learned often in our shiurim, is really a form of a nether. And since Hegdish is really just a form of a nether, the halacha is you could be matan nether. But who could be matan nether? Only the person who made the nether. And therefore, explains the Tori Evan, only that person that was made the Hegdish has the special rule that Shmuel said that Hegdish, Shechila Shava Pruta, would be Mechulo. What would be a Nafkamina? A Nafkamina would be that we learned now a new din that Shmuel taught us. The Hegdish, Shava Mana Shechila Shava Pruta Mechulo. What would be if you could be redeemed Maisa Sheni that way? Can you take Maisa Sheni and be mechal, and redeem it on a Shava Pruta? If we're going to say that it's a special din in Hegdish, that the owner has that right, so maybe that's not the din of Maisa Sheni. It could be others would disagree. It probably, I saw that the Achronim suggest, would be connected to another question that we recently discussed, and that is the question, how does the halacha look at Maisa Sheni? Does the halacha look at Maisa Sheni as mammon Hegdish, or does mammon hegdit, or mammon hegdish? So if we look at it as mammon hegdit, so then this rule of Shmuel perhaps is only relevant to something which is mammon hegdish. But if we, and therefore the halacha would be different. So it's very connected. Do we look at Maisa Sheni as mammon hegdit, or do we look at it as mammon hegdish? That would be the way to perhaps make to see if Shmuel's rule applies by Maisa Sheni. Says the Gemara, Tanan Hosam. The Mishnah Masechta Temura says that if somebody has an animal which could be brought on the Mizbeach, and instead of taking that animal, he wants to substitute it with another animal, says the Mishnah, it's completely not valid. That's not valid. Imhaya Kaddish Balmum. But if the animal that was Hegdish is Balmum, Yotzel Chulin, it could be redeemed, because that animal cannot be used as a carbon. However, Tzorach Lasis Leidamim, the value has to be given to Hegdish, says the Gemara, and there was a Machloikis, how do we understand that Mishnah? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yotzel Chulin, if you redeemed it at less than its value, Dvat Torah, but the Raisa, that's a valid redemption. Tzarech las leidomim, the fact that you have to give hegdish its true value, is a din midivrayim, is a din derabbanim. Veshlokish amar, av tzarech las leidomim, the amount that you have to give the proper value is minatayra. Because the pasuk says the word erkecha by redemption of hegdish, and the definition of the word erkecha means its true value. So now we just learned the machlokes of Yochanan and Veshlokish, and the Gemara asks a question. But mayaskinim, this machloikis that we just learned, what is the case that we are referring to? Ilema b'chteyano, that it's a sixth. B'ha lema reshlokit tzorech lasas domid v'atoyra, that midaraisa you have to make up the amount. For tanan, haven't we learned in our Mishnah? Eil dvorm shein lememno, that there is no ino altogether by kakos avodim shtoros v'kadeshis. So how could reshlokit suggest that it's invalid? Ella, it's speaking about a case that it was more than a sixth. And the question is, do we say that when it's more than a sixth, even though it's hegdish, do we say that there's a mekach tos? Says the Gemara, b'ha leima, will we say in that case, tzarech las leidomim midivrayim, that midrabbanan you have to pay up the overcharge or the undercharge, v'am rabbi yachan hegdeshis. Rabbi Yochanan said that Rabbi Yochanan said as a loch by Gdeshus. Rabbi Yochanan a karkos. The Shmei de Rabbi Yochanan amri noa ein lahem bittel mekach yesh lahem. The coin to Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan holds there's going to be mekach tos. So it's not just the rabbanon if you gave the wrong amount. It's not good. Midaraisa answers the Gemara la'olam. We're going to say that the case that's referred to there is bittel mekach. It's speaking about a case of more than a sixth. If that's the case, why would Rabbi Yochanan say it's only a din de rabbanon that you have to give the right number, otherwise it will be void? Rabbi Yochanan says midaraisi you have to do so. Veipach says, "Umar, we have to reverse the opinions." Veipach to Rabbi Yochanan, Reshlokish to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan is going to be the one that says you have to make up the money midaraisa, and Rabbi Shlokish will be the one that says only midrabbanon. So now ask the Gemara. What is the basis of this entire machlokes of Rabbi Yochanan and Shlokish? If you underpaid, if you didn't redeem the right way the animal, if you have to make it up, what is the basis of that machlokes? Says the Gemara, b'dishmul, b'maykavavki. What is the basis of the machlokes? The halacha that Shmuel just taught us. Shmuel just taught us. Hegdishav emanah shechelah shavapruta mechulo mar islay dishmul. The one that says that midaraisa, you don't have to really make it up, agrees with Shmuel. And since he agrees with Shmuel, there really is no din daraisa to do here anything. It's only a din derabbanan. Umar, and the undermandom that says midaraisa, you have to make this up. Obviously, Leslie the Shmuel does not agree with Shmuel's opinion. Ibai Seima, but now the Gemara suggests another way of explaining this machlokes. The Kulama, everybody actually could be in agreement with Shmuel. The machlokes here is the mass of a chiloi in this that Shmuel says that you could do it al shava pruta is only b'di'evit acceptable. L'chatchila loy. And as we explained earlier, the Torah uses the word erkecha. And since the Torah uses the word erkecha, the Torah is teaching us that it has to be the true value. But if you didn't do it, it's still acceptable. That the prior is teaching us that you don't have to give the true value even l'chatchila. So if you say that the Torah tells us l'chatchila, you have to give the true value, we understand that if you didn't do so, you have to make it up. But if the Torah said that you don't have to do it, so, and the word erkecha, that man the Omer is going to have to explain, means that whatever you do, erkecha, whatever you do, is acceptable, so therefore the midaraisa what you did is fine, and now there's a new din, the rabbanon, that even though midaraisa what you did is perfectly fine, midarabbanon you should make it up. Now, that's one way, that's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Tosfos has a different approach, and Tosfos says that there's a difference if you knew what you were doing, if you did this deliberately, so to speak, cheating Hegdish, versus if it was an accident you didn't really know. And I saw that the Kozlov Gavarov, the Shas Chuvas Eretz Tzvi Chelek Aleph Simon Kuf Chav Ches explains, in a place that a person made a mistake, since a person made a mistake, therefore the Torah says it's acceptable. But a person knew what he was doing and he's doing against what the Torah says, that's where the Torah says you have to make it up. The machlokes is in the case where it was exactly the sixth. And there's no reason to reverse the opinions of Rabbi Yochanan Ish Lakish. What is the machlokes? Rabbi Chisda Kamachli. They're arguing over something Rabbi Chisda taught us. The Omar, Mayi Ein Lehem Ano, when he said, when we learned in the Mishnah, Hegish Ein Lehem Ano, which we explained, which is the simple pshat, that the entire subject of Ano does not apply by Hegdish, he has a very, very different definition. He says, Einem B'Tairis Ano, all of the halachas that we've been learning and will continue, Mitzvah Shem, learning about Ano, do not apply by them, but rather just the opposite. Afilu Pachs Mechdei Ano, even when it's less than a sixth, that we've been learning from when we began the sugya of Ano, that when it's less than a sixth, there's a Mechila. Here, the halacha is, says Rav Chisda, that no matter what an insignificant amount it is, by Hegdish you have to return the amount that was overcharged, even that small amount. So Rish Lakish is going to hold Rav Chisda, and therefore he's going to hold that you have to make up if you didn't give Hegdish the right number. Rav Yochanan is going to disagree with Rav Chisda. He's going to explain the Mishnah. When the Mishnah said that Hegdish ain lehem einor is the way we've been explaining that Mishnah from when we learned it, that the whole din of Ano does not apply by Hegdish. Just, there's a new din with Rabbanon that you should make it up. And that's only in a case, says Rabbi Yochanan, where it's more than a sixth. When it's a sixth or less, Elam Ano, there's nothing to make up. Ask the Gemara, how could Rav Chisda say that now just the opposite of everything we've been learning? And Rav Chisda is now teaching us that when we speak about Hegdish and we speak about Ino, we're stricter by Hegdish than we are anywhere else. Meisvei, the Brisa says, Ribbis v'Ino lehegit, the halacha of Ribbis and Ino apply by transactions between regular Jews, vein Ribbis v'Ino lehegdish, says the Gemara. So we see clearly, as the Gemara, that the Brisa says that there is no Ino by that there is no Ino lehegdish. How could Rav Chisda say just the opposite? Answers the Gemara. Mi'alima Masnisan. Why is this Brisa more of a question to you from what we learned in our Mishnah? And our Mishnah said that there is no Ino by Hegdish. And Rav Chisda explains that what does the Mishnah mean? The Kim the Betairis Ino, that the whole parish of Ino and all the rules of Ino don't apply by Hegdish. There's always Ino. So says the Gemara. Hachnami. That's the way we're going to explain the Brisa. Ribbis v'dunah lehegit, vein ribbis v'dunah lehegdish. That everything is anah by hegdish. Says the Gemara, ihachi, if that's what the Maraisa means to say, that there's always anah by hegdish, hani tani b'seifa, zechay mebehegit mebehegdish. How could the Maraisa say that the Torah was stricter by a hegdit than by a hegdish? According to Rav Chisda, it's just the opposite. The Torah was stricter when it comes to Hilchos Ano by Hegdish than by a Hegdit. By Hegdit, there's rules with a sixth. And by Hegdish, all of those rules fall away. Answers the Gemara, what Rav Chisda is going to say, that statement of the Brisa is referring to Ribbis. And the Brisa is saying that we're stricter by Hegdit than by Hegdish by Ribbis. So ask the Gemara, if the Brisa is trying to contrast Hegdish and Hegdit, so the Brisa indeed could say that when it comes to Hilchos Ribbis, we're stricter by Hegdit than by Hegdish, but the Brisa should have also said, listening nami, zechayim behegdish mebehegdit, that there's a chumr by Hegdish over Hegdit regarding Hilchos Anab, says the Gemara. Hachi hashta, bishloima, zechayim behegdish mebehegdish, the chumr that there is by Hegdit over Hegdish, the suloi, there's only one example, and that will be Ribbis, that This is the one place in all of Halacha where Hegdish is treated, where Hegdish is treated stricter than Hegdish. But if we want to use corresponding language regarding Hilchas Anor, and we would say Zech Choymer beHegdish beHegdish, that Hilchas Anor are stricter by Hegdish than they are by Hegdish, the Hegdish Zech Choymer beSuloy, by using the word Zech Choymer, and the way I understand what the Gemara means to say, of course, when the Braisa uses wording, the wording has to be consistent. So we're saying Zech Choymer, that was stricter by Hegdish than by Hegdish as far as Ribbis. The corresponding wording would have to be that when we speak about the Ribbis, the Einor, then Hegdish, Zech Choymer, that Hegdish is more stricter. Hegdish is stricter than Hegdish, but that isn't true. That Hegdish is stricter by Hegdish only in that example, because it's it'll be in all cases. Since it'll be in all cases, and Seb seems to indicate only one case, that is something that is not a true statement, and that's why the statement wasn't made. Ribbis the Hegdish. Mm-hmm. But the Gemara just said that there is ribbis by Hegdish, and there is no interest by Hegdish. But ask the Gemara, ribbis by Hegdish, exactly what is the case that we're referring to? Elaim the Osfei Gizbar Meya, that the administrator of the Hegdish took $100 of Hegdish money, B'meyev Esrim, for exchange that he'll get $120. V'loi Mola Gizbar. The moment the Gizbar took that money, he was Moyel, and it's not Hegdish anymore. The Kimin Shemala Gizbar, once the Gizbar did Meila, Yotzim Ayesu L'chulin, that money is not Hegdish money anymore. And if it's not Hegdish money anymore, Yotzim Ayesu L'chulin, Vavalei the Hegdish. So we can't say that that's called Hegdish money, that there's no ribbis to it. Amar Vayishach V'mayiskinin, K'gon Shekivalov L'sapik Saltis. We're speaking about the administrator of Hegdish made a deal with a supplier of flour that he's going to give 4 sa'on of challah ma'arba, of flour. He's going to supply 4 sa'on of flour for a seller. This was before the price of flour was really set. And then the price went down. Then the price was more expensive. It was sol in the seller. You get 3 sol for the seller. So by Hegdish, the din halacha is that you're not allowed to do that. Before the price has been established, you're not allowed to contract, because that has the halacha of ribbis. Because you're getting money at the beginning of the season, and you're paying for it at the beginning of the season, even though the price may go up, and you're making money because you gave your money early, and therefore the halacha is that you're not allowed to do that. But by Hegdish, it would be permissible, says the Gemara Ketanan, and the Gemara proves that that is actually halachically permissible. Ketanan mekabel ov l'sapik saltis ma'arbit, if the Hegdish made a deal that they're going to get 4 sa'on for seller, and then the price really ends up being shalosh, mesapik ma'arba. The deal is a deal and you have to keep it. Even though, as we just said, by Hegdish, you wouldn't have to keep it. By Hegdish, you would have to keep it. On the other hand, if you made a deal that the Hegdish, that you're going to get 3 sa'on for a seller, and then the price of flour ends up being cheaper, for omdu ma'arba, and they go down to arba, the halacha is mesapik, that you have to pay, Hegdish gets at the better price. Why? Shiyad Hegdish al Yoreh. Hegdish always ends up being in the better price. So the Rishonim ask a very important question. This type of ribbis, which we're discussing now, is only ribbis d'rabbanan, not ribbis d'araisa. Where the Gemara asked the question that the Torah HaKadosh says that there is no ribbis by Hegdish. And we're trying to find out what is the case. So what was the example that the Gemara gave? The example that the Gemara gave was an example that applies to Ribbis the Rabbanon. Ribbis the Rabbanon cannot be what the Torah is referring to. So the Ramban answers that the halach of the Torah is that where somebody made a deal with Hegdish, that Hegdish is buying a saw of flour. And the administrator said that you, if you're willing to take the money, I'll give you the money now, and I'm willing to wait for delivery, and I'll get two saw for waiting, which of course is a case of Ribbis Deraisa. That's what the Torah meant, says the Ramban, and that is truly Ribbis Deraisa. Once that's the halacha, says the Ramban, and that's truly what the Torah meant to teach us, says the Ramban, what the Gemara now comes to tell us is that even in a case where it's not even to expand, that not only do we say this halacha regarding Ribbis Deraisa, but we're going to say this halacha even regarding Ribbis Derabbanan. Rapapa has the Braisa speaking about a loan. The way Rapapa explains the Gemara, that when they used to give stones to be used in the building of the Beis HaMikdash, they weren't magdish the stones. The stones that were used while they were chol, and only after they were built, rak achakach magdishim. They were only magdish them afterwards. So that's why it's not considered regular hegdish, and that's why the halacha of ribbis would perhaps apply. So the Achrayim ask a very important question. If that's the case, it's not hegdish. If it's not hegdish, why is there no issur ribbis? So Rav Shimon Shkop says a gevaldige chiddush. He says that when we think about hegdish, we think about hegdish. That the definition of hegdish is something which is hegdish. Says Rav Shimon Shkop, there's something new now. There's something which doesn't have the halacha of hegdish, because you weren't magdish it completely. But even though it doesn't have the halacha of hegdish, it's something that's owned by hegdish. Says Rav Shimon Shkop that something that's owned by hegdish, even though it doesn't have all the halachas of hegdish, has the rules of hegdish vis-a-vis something like we're speaking about now regarding ribbis. Rav Chisda said that when the Mishnah said ein lahem tyrus ano, means that we treat hegdish stricter than we treat anything else when it comes to hilchas hegdish. When it comes to hegdish and hilchas ano, what's going to be the halacha? Because our Mishnah didn't just speak about hegdish. The Mishnah spoke about regarding karka and evidence shtar. Will Chizda say the same regarding that, or will he not say he's speaking only by hegdish? The Torah is strict by no, not regarding the other things that were identified in the Mishnah. So the Rishonim say that Rav Chisda was speaking strictly about Hegdish. And they explain, because by karka, real estate, they make a very important point. Real estate doesn't really have a firm value. There's so many considerations that go into a person's decision to buy real estate that even though it may have a price, I may be interested in a certain location and a certain piece of property because it's near a piece of property that I have. So that's why there's no inor by karka. And then, as the Gemara said, avodim are like karka. And like the Gemara said, shtar is not something that has an intrinsic value. So even though Rav Chisda is saying that the Mishnah is actually teaching us that when it comes to hegdish, we ought to be stricter, Rav Chisda is only speaking about hegdish. He's not speaking about anything else. We learned further in the Mishnah, ein bem teshlumi kefil, that the different things that we learned in the Mishnah, there is no kefil payment by these things. Says the Gemara, how do we know this halacha? Manan immediately, if somebody stole avodim shtaris or karkos, there is no kefil. Says Mother Tanra Bonin. The pasuk that teaches us the halacha of kefil is actually by a pasuk by Shem Mechinam, who claims that something of his was stolen. And the Torah Kedosha says, a kol dvar pesha, al shorah chamoa asel, sama kol aveda shiyoymi ki huzeh, ad alakim yovet vashnim, Asher Yashim Elkin Yishalim Shnaim L'Reyu. Says the Gemara, the way to understand this pasuk is a kol dvar pesha is a klal, then shalsha sachar asam is a prat, a kol aveda shem is chos v'klal. And the rule is, klal uprat uklal ir tadot elkein uprat. Just to review the halacha, if we have a klal and then we have a prat, the prat completely defines the klal, and only what's in the prat ain b'chlal elamasha b'frat. But when there's a klal coming afterwards, so that klal says that it has to be similar to the prat. And to dan elkein prat. Ma prat mefurish. If we look at all these different things that are mentioned, they all dover hamtatl the movable v'gufa mumen, and they have an intrinsic value. Af kol dover hamtatl v'gufa mumen. Yotz kakosh hamtatlin. They're not movable. So of course the Rishonim ask, we're speaking about Geneva. How is it possible to have Geneva by Karka? One is through Asagas Gavul, where you pushed somebody else's boundary. Another shot that the Rishonim suggest is when I bought something that was Mechubal Karka, I bought something that's still connected to the ground, that has the din of Karka. Yotz Ashtaris, Yotz Avodim, Avodim, as we mentioned a few moments ago, are always hokish like karkos. The halacha of Avodim and karkos are the same. Yotz shtaris, shapi shematatlin, obviously shtaris are movable, however, ain gufa mamon, that they don't have intrinsic value. And hagdashis, the amakra, the pasuk says, l're'ehu, yishalom shneim l're'ehu, and l're'ehu, that this din of kefil is only paid l're'ehu v'loy l'hagdash. Furthermore, we learned, like Tashlumi Abba Chamisha. Why is there no Tashlumi Abba Chamisha? Says the Gemara, because Tashlumi Abba Chamisha Amrachmana, like Tashlumi Shloy Shiva Arba. Just to review halachas that we learned quite extensively when we learned Masech Baba Kama. If somebody steals, we just finished learning, you pay kefil. But if somebody steals a shor or a seh, an axe or a sheep, and tafchay mecharoy, he sold it or he shechted it, the halach is you pay dalad v'hei. When the Torah says you pay dalad v'hei, that means you pay four or five. That four or five is on top of the kefil. But if we just finished learning that by these things there's no kefil, so then if we're going to add payment by shor v'seh, the amount we're going to add is now going to be three or four, not four or five. But there's no option in the Torah of four or of three or four. The Torah only gives us an option of four or five. So four or five is not going to be relevant. This whole halacha will not be relevant as L. We learned Shemichinim en and Nishba. The Shemichinim only swears, doesn't swear. We know that a Shemichinim was asked to watch something. The halacha is that he doesn't swear that he wasn't Pesheya if he was watching Avodim Shtaris Karkos V'Hekdesh. Not immediately. How do we know this halacha? The Tan Rabbanan, we read the Pasuk, the Pasuk that we learned before, Kitnish Areu Klal, Kesav Akelim Prat, Chaz V'Klal, Klal Prat V'Klal, Yatadon Elkena Prat, Pa Prat Mefor Shtova Matatel V'Gufay Momin, Avka Adava Matatel V'Gufay Momin. That's where the Torah speaks about the Shvuah. Just to read the pasuk, Kitnish Arei Kesav Akelim Lishmar, the Gunam Beis Ish Imi Motzah Ganav Shalom Shnayim, the Ganav Pays Kefil Im Lo Yimotzah Ganav. If the Ganav is not found, the Nikra Baal Bayis Alehim Im Lo Shalach Yodah B'Malach Sreyu, who has to swear. But it says the Gemara Meprat Mefurish that all these things are Dava Matatav Gufay Momin. Af Kol Dava Matatav Gufay Momin. That's when you have to swear. Yotzu Kakosh Shem Matatlin. Yotzu Avadim Shuk Shul Kakosh. And how do we know that the Shem Chinam doesn't swear by Hegdish? On Makra, again, the Torah says the word Re'eyu. From here we learn Re'eyu V'loi Hegdish. We learned further that a nice Sachar, even though a Shem Sachar is Chai for Geneva, the halacha is that he doesn't pay for Geneva's Avodim, Shtaris, and Hegdashis. Ask the Ramana Hamili, where do we know this halacha from? The Tan Rabbanan. The Torah says, "Kitn ishal reyu chamar shah seh v'kabehem lishmar u'meisa nishba nishba ein roya." And the Torah says further, "V'mgonav yigonav mi'ima yishalm labanav."
From here we learned the halacha that a shay mesachar has to pay for geneva. So again, says the Gemara, let's learn the pasuk. Kitne shereyu klal, chamara shah seh prat, v'ka behem lishma chaz v'klal. So says the Gemara, klal prat to klal, yata don ken prat. When we have a klal prat to klal, it has to be what's in the prat or what's similar to the prat. Ma prat mefurish tova metat v'gufa imamin. That when is there a chiv for shay mesachar to pay for geneva? When it's something which is movable and has intrinsic value, af kol dava matantel gufay mamon, yotz a karka shere matantel. You can't move karka. Yotz a vodim because they're always compared in halach to karkos. Yotz a shtaris shabbi shematantel. They are movable, however, ain't gufay mamon. They do not have an intrinsic value. And how do we know that by hegdish a shem sacher would not be chayiv for the geneva of hegdish? Amakra re'eyu. From here we learn only by re'eyu and not. Hegdish is not Reyu, and therefore the halacha that Hashem Mesachar pays for Geneva is not relevant by Hegdish.